I got some initial haters and fence sitters. I'm like, oh, maybe this is not working out. But then I realized and I recalled learning about this principle. You just gotta find those champions. And once you build up that base, the fence sitters will start to move into joining your events. The haters will always stay as haters, so just leave them there as it is. And that's just how you slowly build up your audience.
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
I was told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt.
We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up.
Use their voice
and make an impact in this world.
You're listening to The Weekly Parody.
Welcome to today's episode. If this is your first time listening, my name is Heather Parody. I am your host. We are continuing this subject of how to build an audience. A few months ago, I hosted an online summit, an online training, where I interviewed all these incredible people who have done a really awesome job at building an audience, whether it was online or in person. And the summit was awesome, such great content. And I wanted to go ahead and repurpose that to our podcast listeners because it's so good. These are shorter episodes because the summit, we only had 15-minute slots for every speaker. So this is a really short episode. Today we have Stephen Noe. Dude, this is so good. So good. He talks about how to grow your audience, your tribe, by identifying your champions. What does he mean by that? You're going to find out in just a second. But before we get started, if you have not subscribed to this podcast, don't make me sing. Please head over to wherever you're listening to this, hit that subscribe button. And if you've been listening for a while, if you've gotten value, I'd really appreciate if you left a review. Don't mention in the review that I sing on it because I know that would turn people away. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get into this incredible episode with my guest, Stephen Noe. Welcome, Stephen Noe, to the summit. He's a social entrepreneur, musician. By day, Stephen is a corporate attorney specializing in mergers and acquisitions in Canada and now Southeast Asia. And by night, he is a social entrepreneur and is passionate about creating communities around the world. In the past 5 years, he's created 3 nonprofit organizations: Healing Using Music, Federation of Asian Canadian Lawyers, and the Living Room Series. His work in the community has been featured extensively in mainstream media in Canada, and he has presented at a TEDx, which is super cool. So, Stephen, that's a pretty impressive bio. First question, just off of building an audience, how do you balance all of that? That's quite a bit.
Thank you. That's such a lovely introduction. And sometimes I wonder that quite often how this is all plays out. But I think when it's something that you're passionate about, you tend to find time for it somehow. And it actually creates time and energizes me.
Amen to that. That's so good. Well, I could just ask you a million questions, but to just kind of steer into this topic of building an audience. When I first decided to contact you, is because of your nonprofit, The Living Room Series. I thought it was super interesting what you're doing. So can you tell me a little bit about what The Living Room Series is?
For sure. So The Living Room Series is a modern day take on 18th century French salons. And it was inspired because I find that in today's age, it's harder and harder to really have like really deep conversations with people. Mm-hmm. Often when you meet someone new at an event, especially in my career, when you go to conferences, it's like, okay, you know, what do you do? What kind of clients are you working on? What kind of files? And it's still very surface level. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to create something where people go deeper into ideas and they share stories. And the idea about a salon just really appealed to me, where back in the day, there were no phone devices. People just gather and chat and they share ideas. So we wanted to recreate that for the modern day and just spread the idea around the world.
I love that. And I wanted to talk to you specifically because, you know, this summit is about gathering an audience, and we're talking a lot about gathering an audience on the online space. And you're not that you're not using online tactics to reach these people, but this is an in-person event. This is a little bit different because you're gathering people physically into a room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's online, but using online as a way to kind of funnel people into the offline.
Yeah.
And especially today's technology, it's so amazing. Like, I mean, there's good and bad sides. And the great thing is the ability to really connect people and live stream events. So it's online to funnel into offline. And that's the strategy so far.
That's so cool. Now you guys can check out some of his talks. I've watched a few of them. He actually filmed some of them. People give different talks and it's really cool. You can see it, but you have a full room. And it's interesting because has it been 5 years that you started it?
I started this actually last year in 2017.
Okay. Even more. It's not an easy task gathering people. So before we kind of launch into some of these questions that our audience had, how in the world have you been able to fill rooms already?
You know, when we first started the idea, so my co-founder Gordon and I, we weren't sure how it would take off. And so when our first event, we just created the idea out there and you just launch it and it sold out really quickly within a week, had 60 people. And I think we realized that there's this untapped need of people who are craving community. You think that, you know, us being online, there's no need for in-person events anymore. But I think we tapped into something as we explored it more and more. We find this not just in Canada, but now we've launched in Asia. There's 3 cities in Asia. The same thing is happening. Wow. So I maybe it's just something that we're recognizing. We're just filling in this need. Because I think there are events, quite a lot of events, but sometimes they're more superficial or they're business networking, and this doesn't really go to the heart of who we are. And people just want to connect and just be part of a community and discuss. And I think that it creating that environment and that forum for people to do so, I think is magical. And every event I go to, I just feel so warm inside. And that's why we keep doing what we do.
So did you ever struggle at the beginning? I mean, I know it's only been a year, but as far as spreading the message and getting people there, is it literally just been a need and people have just been coming? Has there been any kind of push on your end from marketing?
Yeah, I think they always, usually with the struggles in the beginning is how do you really frame your idea? How do you share? Because especially we have this vague notion, okay, we want to create community, we want people to gather together, we want to share ideas, but how do you sum it up in a concise manner that people will get it right away? I started this journey of creating nonprofits 5 years ago. So this is my third project. And through this stage, you kind of learn what the mistakes you learn, you kind of apply it. So the reason why this is able to grow so quickly in a year is because I've made many mistakes in the past with different other organizations and just applying it to today. But still, the initial challenge is always, how do you summarize what your idea is, and how do you frame it, and how do you discuss it, how do you share it?
Oh man, I started a nonprofit a few years ago, and it has been the biggest learning curve of my life. I feel like I know way more what not to do than what to do. So that makes so much sense. What about your target audience? I know that one of our questions from a listener was, you know, how niche should I be when I'm trying to gather people, whether that's online or in person? How did you guys define what your niche is, or did you? What is your take on, you have this message, who are you speaking to? How do you figure that out?
There's an amazing book that I read called Tribes by Seth Godin. And
I thought I had it right here. I love that.
Oh my gosh, I love this book.
I'm reading it right now.
And what Seth talks about is that you just have to identify what your category is. And part of that is knowing what you're not. I think especially in today's age, it's easy to try to appeal. Before, in the past, you would appeal to the mass, right? There's this curve of people. Yeah. But instead, just find out exactly, okay, these are our values. So for us, it's self-expression. It's people who want to discuss deeper topics like identity, rejection, relationships. So when we put that out there on our website and description, people can see, oh, is this for me or not? And people will self-select. So generally, the people we attract to these events, there's no particular, age category. Maybe it's more so the values and the people who come, the people who are willing to be open, who are willing to try to think different things. That's the kind of niche we're trying to target, and those who want to come to trust me. I find that those who come in with the mindset of a business networking event, or those who are uncomfortable in such a setting, they tend not to come back afterwards. Mm-hmm. But you can kind of see, and while we love having videos and photos, it kind of showcases what we're all about.
I love that, because what you're saying in essence is don't be afraid to turn some people away or turn some people off to what you're doing. Be honest about who you are and what you're speaking to. It's good.
Exactly.
What about, maybe in your other nonprofits and gathering people, how do you know the difference between I need to be persistent and have patience in growing this thing versus this isn't working, I need to try a different method?
Oh, that's like the eternal powerful question there.
Yeah, right.
I love it. I think in our generation, we're just so used to like instant success and instant numbers, especially with things happening like a microwave society, as I like to call it. Darren Hardy talks about it in the book Compound Effect, where it builds up over time. And after year two, you see this hockey stick growth of massive success. So generally in the beginning, if you start seeing people who are starting to buy in, and just don't get, dissuaded when there's not immediate success, because everybody you look at, yourself, Lewis Howes, Mel Robbins, they all started with a very small following in the beginning. And they just slowly built things up over time. I have this philosophy or this theory called the champions, the fence sitters, and the haters. I could dig more into this in a bit, but it's just about knowing when you talk to someone, there's three types of people. You're going to have people who hate your idea. You just know that's going to happen. You just categorize them as the haters. You're going to have people who are kind of on the fence. They're like, oh, I'm not sure. Let me see what it's all about. But then you're going to have what I call the champions. And these are the people who just love it. They're on board within the first minute. They're like, I'm there. I want to go. I don't know what this is about, but I will go and attend. And these are the people you want to target, especially in the beginning. One of the mistakes I learned through the years is that my first nonprofit, I got some initial haters and fence sitters. I'm like, oh, maybe this is not working out. But then I realized and I recalled learning about this principle, you just got to find those champions. And once you build up that base, the fence sitters will start to move into joining your events. The haters will always stay as haters, so just leave them there as it is. And that's just how you slowly build up your audience.
I love that idea of the champions. Can you talk to us a little bit about how do you identify, like let's say you're at the beginning and you don't have people who are just sold out on you off the bat. How can you use that same concept starting off kind of smaller?
Yeah, I think the first part would just be through word of mouth when you're starting initially. And usually it's through friends or friends of friends. And when you just talk about your idea at like a social gathering, especially, I find it funny. One of the topics we talked about in the Living Room series is rejection. I think humans were innately afraid of being rejected, because I think back then it means that we're not part of society. We are dejected. But I think even though there's a fear of rejection, you just got to break past that fear, because there's going to be one or two people who are really into your idea. Generally, I find face-to-face, friends of friends initially. And then from there, you get build off through, posting stuff on Facebook, especially Facebook, Instagram. You say, hey, this is a new event. This is a new idea. And from then, people will message you. I'm actually starting a fourth project, and this is starting to happen. I started it last month. And this is exactly the same thing's happening, where I posted a photo of something I did, a project I'm doing. And then I had two or three people who messaged me privately. They're like, I'm on board, Steven. This is amazing. I want to join in. And I was like, those are the champions. So I'm going to focus on them first and build it up.
God, that's so good. That's so good. I could sit here and talk about this for a while. We're already up on time, which stinks. Where can people connect with you online? And if these Living Room series, you're trying to plant these all over. So you could actually connect with you about starting one in your own city, right?
That would be fantastic. Yeah. So check out livingroomseries.me. So hopefully the link will be provided. From there, you could sign up to find out where we're going in your next city. There's an email contact there as well. That's probably the best way, because we're using that to really launch. And we want to expand in different cities. So there's 5 cities in total, and we're going to expand into 8 by the end of the year.
That's
and
so
more
cool.
In the year. So there's contact information there. There's our Instagram page, LRS Globo, and Facebook as well.
That's so good. Now, last question. And all that will be linked up in the show notes. Let's say we could rewind time 5 years ago and you were sitting with younger Steven and you said you're going to advise him on how to implement your nonprofits better, how to gather tribe better, how to build an audience better. What advice would you give yourself 5 years ago to that you've learned now?
It's easy to say, but start small. I think I felt overwhelmed in the beginning. It's like, I don't want these big aspirations. I'm looking at my peers and this seems amazing. But I think just starting small, finding those initial champions and just letting the compound effect take place over time. As you grow and grow and grow, you're going to see success in a few years' time and just trust in the process. That's what I say to myself, because I was discouraged in the beginning. But, you know, applies every single time you start a new project. So start small, keep persisting, and find those champions. That's like a crucial, crucial, crucial
one. So good. Thank you so much for your time, Stephen.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure chatting with you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have not subscribed yet, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and hit that subscribe button. And also, if you have a second, leave us a review. Lastly, we have a private Facebook group. If you are looking for a tribe of like-minded leaders who are unconventional in their approach, but dedicated to making an impact, head over to Facebook and type in Unconventional Leaders, and we will be sure to add you. You guys have a great week.